Today's Shi'ez Masechta Shabbos Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tet Zayin on the base, two lines from the bottom. Vidach Mahi. We continue Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch to discuss the Yudches Gzeiros, the Yudches rules that Chazal instituted in different scenarios that we have been discussing for the last number of Shiurim. The Gemara brings up the next one. Vidach Mahi. The next one is referring to the Hilchus of Tumas Oil. We know that a mace gives off Tumah. A mace is the highest level of Tumah. A mace is Avi Avos HaTumah. And the mace that gives off Tumah can give off Tumah in a number of ways. It could give off Tumah if something is directly above the mace. Anything which is directly above the mace becomes tamei. It could give off tuma by anything being directly under the mace. And then the third way is what is known as tumas oil. Tumas oil means that anything that is in the same oil, in the same enclosure as the mace, becomes tamei. The question that our Gemara will now discuss is, what are the dimensions required for an object that is over the mace and also over a person to constitute or create an oil? That is going to be the subject of the first of the gzeiros that are now going to be mentioned in our shir. Says the Gemara, V'idach mahi, what is the next of the yudches gzeiros? The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, kol hamitaltlin, anything which is movable can serve as an oil over a mace. Mevin es ha-tuma can bring tuma ba'ove ha-madeya if they have the thickness of a madeya. And the dimensions of a madeya, which is a stick that they used to use to push animals in certain directions, a goad, G-O-A-D, is typically oil has to be a tefach. However, the madeya is not a tefach wide. But what it does have is that it has a circumference of a tefach. It's approximately one third of a tefach wide. And something which is one third of a tefach wide will have a circumference of a tefach. And Chazal said that even though to be considered a halachically valid oil, it has to be a tefach wide. Here, and this is the simple way of learning the Gemara, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, the halach is that if it has a width, it has a circumference of a tefach, even though it doesn't have that width, it still will be considered an oil. That means, if you have this mardeya, part of it is over a mace, and part of it is over a human being, that human being will have tumas oil, because he's under the same mardeya, it's considered as if he's under the same oil as a mace. Comments, Reb Tarfon. On Reb Tarfon uses a very sharp lashon. Tarfon says, a kapeach es b'ni. I'm prepared to cut off my children. Shezu halacha mekupepes. That this is a cut off halacha. It's completely incorrect. Sheshama shemeya. Whoever heard this halacha heard it, v'tah, and made an error. This is not the halacha. So there are a number of pshatim how to understand a kapeach es b'ni. Rashi seems to learn that Reb Tarfon was so upset that Torah, in his opinion, was being misrepresented. He was ready to curse his own children because of his being so upset about what he saw here as a misrepresentation of the Torah. Ask the Mashal, that we could understand that Reb Tarfon is very upset. But why should his children be punished because he's upset? Moreover, asked the Sfasemis, that the Gemara Masechta Shavuos Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph teaches us that one may not curse. He's not allowed to curse himself, and he's certainly not allowed to curse his children. Even if you don't use the Shem Hashem, because typically when Halacha speaks about cursing, it talks about cursing with the Shem Hashem, it's still Asur. So how could Reb Tarfon behave this way? So the Mashal says, and he says that Rashi ultimately in Masechta Bava Metzia agrees with this as well, that the Shvua that was made here was that if this, I am so positive that this halacha is incorrect, that I'm willing to say, I'm willing to put my children's life on the line. It doesn't really answer the question completely. It just, what Tosfos seems to be saying is that Reb Tarfon was willing to take, he was trying to emphasize how serious he felt this was a misrepresentation, and therefore that's why that was the way he expressed himself. So akapeches b'ni shezu alochem kupachas, that this is incorrect. Sheshama shemeya, the person who heard a shaila in the yeshiva regarding a situation and heard a psak v'tah, and he made a mistake in understanding what the shaila was and what the psak was. What was the story? The story was ha'ikah ha'ovid u'madei al ksafei. A farmer was walking with his madeya on his shoulder, v'yitzidei achas al kever, and one side of the madeya was over a kever. Timaisai. And Chazal said that he's tamei. Mishum kelim hameihilim alameis. What happened was that this person was walking, and he, and again, this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara, that this keli was over the mace. As we discussed at the beginning of our shir, even if you'll hold that to be considered a oil, you have to have a tefach, but that anything that's under or over a mess becomes tamei, that there's no minimum or maximum width. Anything that's under or over the mess becomes tamei. So since this mardeya that the farmer was carrying was over the mess, so the mardeya became tamei. Now this farmer is touching the mardeya, so the mardeya became an avatoma. It got tuma from the mess, which is avia voisa tuma. The mardeya then became an avatoma. The mardeya, which was being carried by the farmer, made the farmer into a rishon l'tuma. The halacha of a rishon l'tuma is that he needs to go to the mikvah and have hair of shemesh. They made a mistake, and they thought that he was considered full-fledged tamei meis. That the halacha, as we learned and will learn, is that a tamei meis needs to have hazor shlishi v'shvi. You have to sprinkle on him from the meichatas of the paraduma, the ashes of the paraduma together with water mixture. And that was what bothered Reb Tarfon. He felt that this person was only tamei as a rishon l'tuma. And what bothered him was that they considered him tamei like a tamei meis, like an avatoma. Ha'ikra over umadei al kseifei. A farmer's walking with this mardeya on his shoulders. V'il tzidei achas al kever. And one of the ends of the mardeya was over the grave. Timoy soy. And Chazal said he's tamei. Mishum kelim milim al meis. Because of kelim that are on top of the meis, which really should be only tamei, which was a mistake in Reb Tarfon's opinion, because he's not tamei because kelim ha-me'ilim al-ameis, he's tamei because of touching a keli that touched a mace, and touching a keli that touched a mace is not the same as somebody who exactly was over the mace. Tosfos has a whole different approach. We're not going to delve into Tosfos' approach. Tosfos' approach is two ways. One way of learning is that this tumah b'chiburin, that since he's touching the mardeya, that gives him the same class as the mardeya. Or another pshat is that there's a din of cherev harei kucholol. As we learned and discussed many times, the halacha is that whenever tumah is transmitted, it always goes down a degree. So if the mace, as I said, is the avi avos hatumah, the mardeya becomes an avatumah. But there's a special halacha by metal where of cherev harei kucholol, that the cherev, the metal that's over the mace, gets the same class as the mace itself. So therefore, if the mardeya had metal in it, it became an avi avos hatumah, and therefore the person who's touching that mardeya is an avatumah. So then, if he is indeed an avatumah, why are we saying that Reb Tarfon is upset? He indeed is an avatumah. An avatumah has to be tummy for 7 days. It has to go through the entire procedure, to which Tosfos explains that it's not the what, it's the why. There was a mistake being made that classifying the mardeya as a oil. The mardeya wasn't an oil. The mardeya was these other considerations, and Reb Tarfon was upset that people may come to make the mistake. Amar, why he's tummy? Amar Kiva, ani asakin. I'll try to fix everything. Shia divrei chachamim kayomim, that what Chazal said should be stand correct. She kol matatl mevinas atuma, that anything that's movable to bring tuma al odam shenoyse son on the person who carries it, but over hamadeya, when they have the thickness of a mardeya, which as we just said is a third of a tefach with a circumference of a tefach. So now that's what Rabbi Kiva is saying, that Chazal made a new gzeira, that because people can make a mistake and they could start not recognizing what is an oil mace when it has the proper width versus what is not the oil mace when it doesn't have the proper width. Chazal therefore made a gzeira that all situations, even something as narrow as a mardeya, will make the person an avatama. Whatever, and this we said earlier, whatever is on top of the mess becomes tamei, no matter what their dimensions are. V'sha'ar on the kalim, but on other people and articles, you need a pesach tefach. So what he's saying is, when something which is movable is above a person or an article, no oil mace is formed unless the required minimum of one tefach. Now this is not what the Chachamim say. So what Rabbi Kiva is agreeing with Reb Tarfon, that being lenient with a movable, with a circumference of tefach will not lead to leniency when we have something which is a tefach wide. So if you have something which has a circumference of a tefach on top of a person and a mace, it's going to be tahor because it doesn't have the proper amount of dimension. So if you're under a movable, not touching that movable, the halacha, says Rabbi Kiva, I will agree with Reb Tarfon, if that movable object doesn't have the proper dimension of being a tefach wide, it will not create an oil mace. But the case of the ikur, the case of the farmer, wasn't that he was just under that mardeya. He was actually touching the mardeya. And because he was touching the mardeya, that's why Rabbi Kiva holds, we will treat him like an avatoma. Vama Rabbi Yanai, and as we've been discussing, Rabbi Yanai tells us the dimensions of this mardeya. Mardeya sh'omer ein be'avya tefach, it itself doesn't have the width of a tefach, however, yesh be'kef a tefach, it has the circumference of a tefach. The gozra ala kefa, and that's why when Chazal made this gezeira, that somebody who touches the mardeya, which is over the mace, the gozra ala kefa, m'shem ha'avya, since it has the circumference of a tefach, we treat it like it has the width of a tefach. Ask the Gemara, going back to the Yud Ches Dover, it's very clear that Reb Tarfon does not agree with Rabbi Kiva. So if Tarfon doesn't agree with Rabbi Kiva, so this isn't one of the Yud Ches Dover. So we're missing from the Yud Ches Dover. Ulrab Tarfon, Dama Kaper Sbini, that he took such a strong position that this is not included in the Yud Ches Dover. Shalachazuma Kefes, Batrulhu. So we're one short from the Yud Ches Dover. Answers the Gemara, Amram Nachba Yitzchak, Apenais Kutum Risosum. According to Rav Tarfon, the halacha that every kuti non-Jewish girl, as soon as she's born, is considered a nida by b'yom gazru. So that adds one. And moreover, b'idach, a halacha that we discussed in our previous year. In our previous year, we discussed about kalim that were left outdoors and then they got filled with water. Do those kalim? Does that water become classified as Mayim Shuvim or not? He holds Savlak Remeyer. He agrees with Remeyer that is also one of the Yuches Dover. And therefore, Rav Tarfon has the proper number of, he's able to reach the number of 18. Vidach mentions the Gemara, another one of the Yuches Dover, is Haboitzel Gas, somebody who harvest grapes for the wine press. And as we've discussed numerous times in our shiurim, the halacha is that food cannot be susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah unless they get wet. But as we also have discussed in our previous shiurim, the Torah, when it speaks about this halacha, uses the words ki yitain mayim alzera. Now the question is how to pronounce the word, because we know that the words in the Torah don't have nekudas. So is it yitain, that you have to deliberately put on the water, only then could the food be mukhsh l'kabal tumah? Or ki yutan, if water was put on it, even if it was not put on intentionally. And as we've discussed numerous times, the halacha is it doesn't have to be put on deliberately, but it has to be that you want that water should come in contact, not that water specifically, or any of the Zayim Mashkim that the Torah says has the ability to be Makshul Kabal Tumah, has the ability to make something susceptible to Tumah, you should want that to happen. So Beis Shammai is of the opinion that if you're cutting grapes to take them to the wine press, and as you put them into the basket, they get some juice oozes out, they get squeezed out, the halacha is that juice, Hukshar, makes the grapes Mukhshul Kabal Tumah. Beis Hillel and Mehillel, on the other hand, holds Loi Hukshar, that it doesn't become Mukhshul Kabal Tumah under those circumstances. And again, because this liquid is very likely not to remain there, and therefore Hillel's opinion is that that's not liquid I wanted. Shammai says it is liquid that may remain there, or we'll speak soon that it may, other explanations, how for sure it remained there, and therefore it becomes Mukhshul Kabal Tumah. The Rambam takes Shammai's opinion even a step further. He says that even if the juice doesn't come out, or even if the juice comes out and it gets lost, since there's a potential possibility for that juice, for that to happen, that's enough to make it Mukhshul Kabal Tumah. Amalei Hillel Shammai. So they're having this discussion, and Hillel says to Shammai, "Neima boitzrim b'tahara. Why are you insisting that when we pick the grapes, we could only use baskets that are tahor? Because if the basket's not tahor, and the grape becomes mukhshul kabal tumah, the basket will make the grape tamei. If that's what you're concerned about, they moiskin b'tahara. The halacha, the word boitzrim is used when harvesting grapes." The word moiskim is used when harvesting olives. So if you're correct, says Hillel to Shammai, is why don't you treat olives the same way as you treat grapes? So Mefarshim asks, there's a fundamental difference. Grapes that get squeezed, the liquid that comes out is grape juice. However, olives that get squeezed, says Tosfos, the juice that comes out is not olive oil, it's something called moil. And moil doesn't have the ability to be machshir tumah. So they say, what Hillel meant to say is that Hillel was saying to Shammai, if you're so convinced that you're correct, then you should make a gzeira by olive oil as well. Because people don't recognize that this is mayil and this is juice. They think it's all the same. So why are you lenient by olive oil and not by juice, by grape juice? Amaloi, to which Shammai said to Hillel, im taknitani, if you'll force me, gzreina tuma afal masika, then I will treat olives as I treat grape juice. And as machlokes, how to understand Shammai's statement. Rashi's understanding of Shammai's statement was that Shammai was responding to Hillel, don't push me, because if you're going to push me, I will actually have to indeed treat olives like grapes. Rabbeinu Tam, in Tosfos Masechta Chagiga, disagrees. And he says, but Shammai said to Hillel, you're right. I Taka agree that your concern is a valid concern. And after I hear your question, I will treat olives the same way as I treat grapes. So what happened then was, says the Gemara, not so cherev bebeis samedrish, they put down a sword into the yeshiva that nobody should walk in or out. They're about to take a vote. And Amru, Hakonis Yikonis, whoever wants to enter should enter, Vayotze al Yotze. Because they recognized that more people were agreeing with Shammai than with Hillel. And says the Gemara, V'ois ayoyim, ha'yoho Hillel kofuf v'yoshel f'nei Shammai. That day Hillel was submissive to Shammai, ke'echad ha'talmidim. So the Yerushalmi explains that Shammai forced Hillel's Talmidim to agree with him. And any Talmud who didn't agree with him, they treated very severely. The Chasam Sofer has a whole different pshat. He says, Hillel's Talmidim in this situation really agreed with Shammai. But out of respect of their Rebbe Hillel, they didn't want to vote like Hillel, like they didn't want to vote like Shammai because they wanted to show respect to Hillel. Shammai's Talmidim said, if this is what you hold, then you have to vote with us, even though it means that you're going against your Rebbe. And says the Gemara of Yekoshel Yisrael, and that day was such a difficult day for Klai Yisrael, Kiyoim Shenasabai Egel, like the day in which the Egel was done. So what does it have to do with the Egel? So the Chasam Sofer explains to us that we remember at the story of the Egel, Klai Yisrael approached Aaron HaKoyen and forced him to make an Egel. Why didn't Aaron push back? Because he was an Anav, he was very modest. Says the Gemara, that was what happened over here as well. Hillel was extremely modest, and instead of pushing back, he let Shammai prevail. The Chasemis says like this, that indeed Hillel was modest, but sometimes the modesty and the comparison to the Egel now is very understandable. Sometimes modesty could lead us into the wrong direction. So just like by the Egel, Aaron's modesty brought that they made an Egel, here too, Hillel's modesty brought that they should do something which he felt was completely wrong. My Tama, so it asks, why was Shammai so anxious to make this gzeira? Amazira, Amrav Chanina, gzeira shemis tzrena bekupas tameis. We're concerned that they may use baskets that are tamei, and if the baskets that are tamei come in contact with the grapes, as we've been learning, the grapes will be tamei. Says the Gemara, ha nichleman da amar kli tamei. There's a machloikus. So there's one man that holds that any tamei vessel that comes in contact with fruit that's wet, whether it was deliberately wet, whether it wasn't deliberately wet, will make the fruit tamei. So we understand the concern. Ela l'man d'omer. and kli tamei chayshe mashkin, just because it's not a keli, just because it's a tamediga keli, doesn't make that everything that comes in contact with it should be tamei. So then, my ikalameimer. So why are we so concerned? Says the Gemara. Ela amar zira amar. There won't be any liquid here. Maybe the liquid will escape through from the wicker basket. Ela amar zira amar chanina zera shem yiftzirin bekupas muzufafais. We're concerned that they're going to use pitched baskets, and those pitched baskets hold in all the liquid, and since they hold in all the liquid, then that's considered that I want the liquid, because I know the liquid can't go out. And therefore, everybody would agree that those grapes become mukshla kabel toma, and therefore, Shammai made his gzeira. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different reason. He's concerned with Shema Noishchus. Sometimes you'll have clusters of grapes that stick together, and since the cluster of grapes, the grapes are very stick together, when you try to separate those grapes, what's going to happen is by the force of separating it, it's going to cause that juice to come out. And since juice will come out, that juice is juice that you knew it's going to come out. We're going to have a concept in this Masechta of Psikresha. Something which is for certain to happen makes everything Mukshla Kabel Tuma. And as the Tosfos Yeshayim points out on the side of the Gemara, if that's the consideration, so then even if I'm not taking the grapes to make juice out of it, it doesn't make a difference. The fact that the way I'm picking the grapes causes that juice to come out makes that the grapes are mukshel kabel tuma. Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Baravur, Padam Shadam Hoyle Karmai. Sometimes a person goes into his vineyard, lay the Magi in Novel Btsira, if he wants to determine if the grapes are ready for harvesting or loy, or if not yet. The Nitel Ashka Novim Lasoichta, and he takes a cluster of grapes and he squeezes out the juice. That's how he's able to determine the status of the grape. Umazal Fagabe Novim. And when as he's squeezing these grapes to see where they're up to, if they're ripe or not, the juice falls onto the grapes. But that isn't an issue, because the halacha is that as long as something is still attached, it can't be mukshel kabel tuma. But what the concern is, ubishas betzira, but when you come to harvest those grapes, adayim mashkin teifach aleim, they're still wet from when I squeezed the juice onto these grapes. And because they're still wet, and now I cut the grapes off, they will become mukshel kabel tuma. And I need to be concerned that what those grapes will come in contact with. Vidach, ask the Gemara, let's continue listing the Yud Ches Davar. Vidach, what's the next one? Tavi Reisha Amar Shmuel. Tavi the Hunter said in the name of Shmuel. Af Gedule Truma, something that grows from Truma has a din of Truma. That means if a kohen received Truma and now you replanted it. So we know when you plant something in the ground, it decomposes, and what comes out is something which is entirely new. Chazal made a gzeir in the Yud Ches Davar that should be considered as if it's still truma. And that was by B'Yom Gozru. That gzeir was made that day. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what was the reason for this gzeir? Amar Rav Chanina, gzeir mishum truma tahayra b'yad Yisrael. We're concerned that let's say Yisrael has truma tahayra, and he's going to want to beat the system. So what he's going to do is, he'll replant it in the ground, and it should lose the status of truma. Amar Rava, says Rava, if we're dealing with such an individual who's so not interested in giving truma to the kohen, if the person we're talking about we're accusing of acting in such a way, so then he's a person that won't take off truma. Why are we not concerned for this? Because we don't think people will do this. Why don't we think people will do this? For although Meiser has a very specific amount that has to be removed, Truma Medereisa Chita Achas Peteris Sakri, one kernel is adequate. So if that's the case, Efshel Mavet Chita Achas, just take out one kernel, Could Shmuel, as Shmuel said, that that's enough to take off a truma. So if somebody's not anxious to give truma, he has a very simple way out. Just take one chita. If this person didn't do this, we know he took off truma properly, then hemnune hemnani. We're certain that he's going to do what's right. And in doing what's right means giving the truma to the kayin. So why should we make Zera concerned that this is what the person's going to do? Says the Gemara, that's not the concern. The concern was, El Gzeira, the reason they made the Gzeira was Mishum Truma Temeya, Biyat Koyin. The halacha is that Truma Temeya may not be eaten, but you're allowed to have Hanor from Truma Temeya. So what will the Koyin do? There's no obligation to burn the Truma Temeya, just destroy it. You could hold on to it. You could use it for fuel. So what will this Koyin do? Dima Mashle Gabay, he may hold on to the truma because he's going to hold on to it until the time it has to be planted. And after it's planted, that he'll be able to eat what grows. Because as we said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, whatever is planted is considered decomposed. And after it's considered decomposed, when it grows again, it's considered new. Vasal de tekala. But we're concerned that this truma temeya, which you may not eat, you'll hold on to it till the planting season. And since you're going to hold on to it to the planting season, you're going to maybe eat it in that interim period, which of course, as we just said, truma temeya may not be eaten. As the Aruch HaShulchan, there's a halacha that we're not allowed to destroy truma. And the halacha that you're not allowed to destroy truma even applies to truma temeya. So why is the Gemara saying that the concern is that I'm going to hold on to the truma, and who knows what's going to happen during this time that I'm holding on to the truma? The Gemara could have said a simpler shot, that as we keep on saying, planting something causes it to decompose, causes it to get ruined, and the halacha is that we're not allowed to cause truma to get ruined. So, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in a sefer, Derech Amuna, explains that destroying truma means if you actively go and destroy it, you'd burn it. Here I'm not actively destroying it, I'm only putting it into the ground. That's only considered a grumma, and since it's only considered a grumma, that isn't a violation of the iser of destroying truma. Vidach. So the Gemara continues. What else is included in the Yud Ches Davar? Amar Rav Chiya bar Ami Mishmeid Ula, Af Misha Hechshlach B'Derech. Somebody is traveling, and Shabbos begins, and he recognizes that he's holding on to something. He's holding on to his wallet. Noisel Kisel Nachri. He's allowed to give his wallet to a Nachri. He's not allowed to carry it. He's not allowed to even carry it for less than Dalet Amos, because Chazal were concerned that you may end up carrying it more than Dalet Amos. But Chazal were also concerned that if we're going to tell you you can't do anything with your wallet, and you have a lot of money in your wallet, you're not going to want to just leave it there. That day it was by B'yom Gazru. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to carry something less than Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim, even Ben Ashmoshes. And that halacha, says the Shulchan Aruch, is even in a kamlus. But there's one rule which we mentioned in the previous year. When is there a concern that you're not allowed to carry something in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim less than Dalet Amos? If the area that you want to traverse is larger than Dalet Amos. So we're concerned that you're not going to carry it properly. Because as we've learned, you have to stop. It has to be a proper stop. It has to be a stop that's Oymed Lofush. There are many halachas. But let's say the entire area that you could walk is only Dalet Amos. There's nothing more than Dalet Amos in that Karmelus and Rishus HaRabim. So there's no concern that you're going to walk more than Dalet Amos, because there is nothing more than Dalet Amos. We could be more lenient. The halacha is that L'chatchili should give it to him, to the Nochri, before Shabbos. But the halacha is that even if it's already Shabbos, again, because of the concern that we mentioned earlier, that you may come If you're not going to be given an option, you may end up doing something which is very wrong. Chazal will make even on Shabbos. Vidach, what else is included in the Yud Ches Davar? Omar Bali Omar Viyasusna, Pitan Vishamdan. There was a halacha on the bread and on the oil and on the wine, Ubinaseyem, and the daughters. We're not talking about marrying a nochris. That's for sure asur midaraisa. Means having relations with a nochris. Kulam shman esu davar hein. They're all included in the shman in the yud ches davar. Says the gemara. Hanich la Rameya. So now says the gemara, we have 18 gzeiris according to Rameya, and we will quickly review them as Rashi tells us. Oichel oichel rishon. Oichel oichel sheni. Somebody who drinks mashkim tameim, somebody who bar rosh veruba b'mayim shauvim, some a tar that rosh veruba was poured on mayim shuvim, oichlin that became tamei with mashkim, kalim that got tamei with mashkim, a sefer that it was in contact with truma, stam yodayim meskonius hain that you're not allowed to read by candlelight, by lamp, by oil, candlelight. You're not allowed to check for lice by such light. If you left, as we discussed earlier today and yesterday, if you left kalim under the pipe, they become mayim shuvim. The halacha that we spoke about at the beginning today, shir, the width of a keli that brings tumas oil, that benois kutim are considered nidois from the moment they're born. The halacha that we just discussed, if somebody is picking, harvesting grapes, they become mukhshal kabal tuma. Truma that's planted is considered truma. The halacha, if somebody is traveling and it becomes Shabbos, that he could give his wallet to an akum. And this last halacha, pitan v'shamnan v'yeinan, that their bread and oil and wine are all asur. So that's according to Rameya, how we have Yud Ches Davar. El Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, who didn't agree in what we discussed in the previous year, and didn't hold that if you left the keli out and water accumulated in that keli, that water becomes mayim shuvim. So now we're missing one. Shivas Rehevim, there are only 17. So we're short, says the Gemara. Ella ikka had Rav Ach Bar Adda. So the Gemara says, we're going to have to rely on what Rav Ach Bar Adda taught us. Dam Rav Ach Bar Adda Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Gozra al Pita Mishum Shamnam. Chazal said that the bread of Akum are osur because of their oil. Vel Shamnam Mishum Yeinam. So what happens here is that, so before we go further, says the Gemara, if that's the case, a pita mishum shamnei, we said that the bread became also because of the oil. Ask the Gemara, my umid the shemem pass. Why should be oil be stricter than bread? We're saying that the oil was also, and then after the oil was also, they said that the bread should also be also. Why should oil be more also than bread? Ella, says the Gemara, the way we have to understand, was gozra pitam v'shamnam mishum yenam. Chazal said that the bread and oil of Akum are osur because of the wine. V'yayinam gozru mishum b'naseyem. And then Chazal said that the wine is osur because we didn't want there should be any social interaction between us and the Akum. So that's why wine is what people drink when they mingle socially. So that's why Chazal said that we don't want you to drink stam yayinam because you may come to have relations with their women. From the same mishum dava acher, which is avoid zara. Al dava acher mishum dava acher. Ask the Gemara, my dava acher. What's the Gemara said? Al dava acher mishum dava acher. Aram nachme yitzchok gozra al nachri teme nachri shematam beziva. We Chazal made exer that every nachri is considered like a zav. Why did they do this? Shloye tinik yisro rogletzah. We didn't again want to limit the social interaction, because they could end up, if you socially mingle with them, there could be a situation of Mishka Zachar, there could be a situation of sodomy. Ihachi, says the Gemara, if the Gzeris are not the way we learned, but rather the way we're learning now, there are more Gzeris, that the Gzera of Akum's children were added, so then we have, according to Rameya, Tishrus Rehavim. Now we have too many, now we have 19. answers the Gemara, the first two gzeiros that we learned as we began the sugyas of oichel v'keim shenitbu mashkin are really one and the same gzeira, and therefore he considers it chad chashulo, and that's why we're down to 18. So Chazal said that we're not allowed to use the oil of Akum, yet the Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah teaches us that it was a gzeira she'ein roiv hatzibur yichayim lamed boy. It was a gzeira that most people cannot take, and therefore Chazal said that that gzeira of not being able, of not having oil of an akum, is not a gzeira that we follow. Then our Gemara speaks about pas akum. The halacha is that the bread baked by an akum, our Gemara clearly teaches us, is from the Yudches Tover that Chazal said we're not allowed to have from akum. But the halacha is that even though the halacha is that you're not allowed to have bread from akum, it's only if a Jew did not participate in the preparation and baking of the bread. If a Jew participated in the baking of the bread, everybody will agree that you're allowed to eat the bread of that akum. Our Gemara also spoke about yayin akum. And there's a very common mistake made when we speak about this. There's two types of wine that are asur. One is yayin nesach. Yayin nesach means wine that was poured for Avodah Zarah. Yayin Nesach is Asur Midaraisa. Here we're not talking about Yayin Nesach. Here we're talking about wine of an Akum. And the halacha is the wine of an Akum, one may not participate because a Gzeira, or because of Yayin Nesach, which as we just described is Asur Midaraisa. Also, as we're learning the Gemara, there's a Gzeira Mishum B'nai Seyem. Chazal did not want us to drink their wine, again, to prevent social interaction with them. The halacha is that bizman hazeh, where the umos don't worship Avodah Zarah, it's osur to drink stam yenam, but it's not osur to have a no. So if somebody has stam yenam and he sells it or he gives it as a gift, that's an isser hano. Most poskim have the opinion there's no isser hano in stam yenam. On the other hand, there is a chumra, which most poskim accept. Rav Moshe discusses it in the Tshuvas as well, that stam yenam is wine doesn't just become osur if it came in contact with an akum, unless it was mavushal, unless it was cooked. Cooked wine doesn't have a problem of stam yenam. And the reason there's no stam yenam on cooked wine is because that wine is considered inferior. That is a wine that was never used for Avodah Zarah, and therefore Chazal did not make a gzeira on such wine. But if you have wine that isn't cooked, according to most poskim, pasteurization makes it considered like yayin mevushal. The halacha is you're not allowed to drink it. The halacha is that if it came in contact to an akum, you're not allowed to drink that wine if he touched it. And the halacha continues to be that not only if an akum touched it, but if somebody who's not a Shomer Shabbos, if somebody's Mechal Shabbos Beferesia, the same halacha would apply that that wine would obtain the status of Stam Yenam.